Well, from a conversation with an international wildlife vet, we go back to animals and another vet with me in studio right now, who happens to be a specialist in avians and reptiles and exotics as well. We are focusing chiefly on bird care today, answering your questions about bird health and anything you'd like to know. You can call in on 021-446-0567 or send your question as a voice note to 072-567-1567. Delighted to welcome to the studio a registered bird vet at CARE, which is the Center for Avians, Reptiles and Exotics, Dr. Kutsia De Beer. Lovely to have you with us, Kutsia. Welcome to Cape Talk.
Hi, Pippa. Thank you for having me.
It's our great pleasure. Before we dive into any questions, tell us a little bit more about CARE.
Okay, so CARE has been a lifelong dream. My dad's a bird vet and I've grown up on the farm around the birds. And yes, I've never wanted to be anything else. I lived in Australia for 9 years and eventually decided to move back to South Africa to start my dream. Mm-hmm. And CARE is 1 year and 2 months old and it's the best thing I've ever done. We basically focus on avian and exotics, so anything from canaries to budgies to secretary birds to eagles to vultures. Haven't had ostrich yet. We still have to get that one in. And then we do all the weird and wonderful other things like rabbits, guinea pigs, hamsters, snakes, reptiles. Yeah, frogs and things like that. We do a lot of rescue work as well. So yes, that's us.
Okay, so that's a pretty broad field of expertise you can tap into today, Cape Talkers. If you've got a question around one of those species, call us please on 021-446-0567 or send an SMS to 31567. I've got to start with the secretary bird. I'm sure a few eyebrows shot up when they heard that coming in the conversation in the same breath as a canary. That's, if I'm not mistaken, after the ostrich, our biggest bird in South Africa, is that right?
Biggest land bird. So yes, secretary birds are very important to us. We currently have a secretary bird with a prosthetic leg that we 3D printed at Eagle Encounters at Spear. So I'm their vet. So the legs get amputated by snares and traps and things like that. So legs got a prosthetic limb that we 3D printed for her. And she's doing fantastically well.
How long ago was that?
That was, I think, 6 weeks ago. Everything's a bit of a blur.
Okay.
But yes, that was about 6 weeks ago, I think.
And 3D printed out of what materials?
So it's the plastic at the moment. I work with Eagle Encounters, like I said, and Bunny Corp, which is a 3D printing company. They do all that technical things. All I do is look after the welfare of the animal and make sure that anatomically there's no any side effects from the implant or from the prosthetic limb. And the idea, ideally, I would like to use recycled plastic from human stuff, like plastic bags and those things, because I think that would be quite cool if we can give them our leftovers, because, yeah.
Well, I mean, what a lovely thought, particularly we know for the ocean birds, plastic pollution is such a danger. The thought of having our plastic waste turned into something that benefits birds instead. I'm with you on that. What a wonderful vision, and may it come to pass. In terms of the kinds of injuries that are brought to you, particularly in birds, you've mentioned injuries, loss of a limb from snares. A lot of people I know will wonder about the effect of overhead power lines. How often do you see, if at all, birds with injuries from having flown into a power line or sat on one and had a short or anything like that?
So normally they don't really get shocked, but I've had in Australia, I had quite a few. In South Africa, you do see the owls fly into things and they get really nasty fractures off their wings. Unfortunately, you can't always amputate owl wings because they still need that for survival. In some cases, if we elect to euthanize those animals, which is sad, but they can't survive with one wing. But yes, we do see those things happen quite often. We also see things in the household where birds that are flighted fly into a fan. Oof. Or things like that. Unfortunately, it is quite common. And other injuries that we do see is your predators attacking geese or the dog suddenly getting a fright and biting the little bird in the house. So those things do happen quite frequently, yes.
You mentioned birds flying into fans in a household setting. If we escalate that, I know a lot of people are concerned about wind farming for that very reason on a much bigger scale. Have you ever seen birds with injuries from having flown into a wind turbine?
I have not.
Touch wood.
So basically, I don't know if that will actually happen. because the wind turbines don't move that fast. I actually have to research that. I have not really seen that, but it is potential that it can happen.
I'm glad to hear it hasn't happened though in your experience so far. May it stay that way. In terms of domestic birds, and I know people have very varied opinions on this. There are some who believe no bird should be kept in a cage or in a domestic setting of any kind. But we know that there are birds that are kept as pets. What is the bare minimum in terms of a healthy, happy environment for a domesticated bird in your view?
In my view, okay, so basically the bird should be able to express its natural behavior and have space to move freely. Should be in an area where there's no stress. Should be in an area where there's access to food and water. Depending on what type of bird it is, you can have a canary quite happy in a small cage. The bigger the cage, obviously, the better. Unfortunately, in South Africa or all across the world, everyone's moving into smaller apartments. Mm. But then you can have the bird to come out and have supervised time. I am a very big believer in foraging. Foraging is a natural behavior for birds that they do, and they crop between bushes and things like that for their food. And you can entertain that bird in that manner in its cage or in an enclosed area. And as long as the bird can keep itself busy, that bird will be happy. Unfortunately, a lot of species, if we don't keep them in zoos or in households or things like that, will become extinct, because that's where the earth is moving to.
We are in the age of the next mass extinction, as we know. In terms of the food for a bird that is being kept in a domestic setting, how easy is it for a bird owner to mimic the kind of natural diet a bird would eat if it were in the wild? You buy bird seed mixes, for example. Is that good enough? Or if you have the kind of bird that would typically be catching small mice and other rodents, for example, is it important to include that in their diet as well?
Yeah, so we have to remember that birds are all across the world, and each bird has, or each species or genus does have a specific need. It's very important when getting that species to make sure that you know exactly what the dietary requirements is. Unfortunately, that is something I see very commonly, where people get your African grey and feed it the bird seed that they buy from the store, from wherever. If you go to supermarkets, you'll see still it says bird seed. Seed alone is not enough for birds. They have to have your protein. You have to have your carbohydrates. You have to have your fats, your vitamins, your minerals. And it's very important to make sure that you know what the different requirements are for that species. Mm-hmm. If you look at a budgie and you look at a macaw, those are ones from Australia, ones from South America. They don't have the same nutritional requirement. This is a very vast question. I can talk about it for hours, but it's important to know what you're getting to know that you meet their requirements.
Is the best place to search for that simply to go onto Google and look for the natural diet of that bird?
I wouldn't go onto Google. I would rather contact an avian veterinarian or someone with avian experience and ask them. We've got handouts that people can email us and be like, hey, I just bought a budgie. I just bought a cockatoo. What is an appropriate diet for that bird? And we can send that through to you. I think that getting that animal, taking that animal to a vet for a health check and discussion of the diet is extremely important. And that's what people do with cats and dogs. Just like that, birds need exactly the same amount of vet care. So And that's something that I would say is very important.
Okay. Just to recap for those who might have tuned in late to the conversation, my guest in studio for the pet feature today is Dr. Kutsia de Beer of CARE, the Center for Avians, Reptiles and Exotics, focusing specifically on bird care this afternoon. Kutsia, what are the signs that a bird is not well? Are there any common characteristics to look out for?
Yeah. So basically, I tell people that birds are habitual animals. They do exactly the same thing every day. When I used to live in Australia, every day between 3 and 5, the red-tailed black cockatoos is one of my favorite species, would sit and go down to the car park and they would eat. So if a bird is not following its normal routine, then something's off. If it's not vocalizing or talking as much, if it's not eating as much, if the feces are not the same, that can be they can be changes, but if it's consistently not the same, then something's wrong. Mm-hmm. If the animal is sleeping more than what it should, those are all signs. Unfortunately, birds are prey animals, so they can hide their diseases a bit well. So you have to be more in tune with your pet or with your aviary birds and look at them daily to understand what is their normal routine. And any deviation from that, I would say, warrants further investigation. If it's just something that you're monitoring and keeping an eye on, or if it's something that is actually concerning, contact your veterinarian.
Okay. Our first SMS in, apologies, from Molly, asking for advice on care and grooming of birds. How regularly should it be done?
Okay. So, the big debate is between keeping your bird flighted and clipping your bird. Mm. At the end of the day, it all boils down to owner's responsibility. Unfortunately, if a bird flies away, it can get into danger. Or if a bird is not flighted and clipped incorrectly, or not knowing if it's clipped, then they can hurt themselves. Mm. I do clip a lot of birds' wings, and we do it every 3 to 4 months because they do molt quite a lot. They molt twice a year, some species, and basically keeping them short and making sure the nails are not too long and their beak are and kept in nice condition. It's more than that. It goes about getting that bird health checked as well. We at the practice, we weigh our birds every single time they come in. We look down their throats, we listen to their chest, make sure their heart's happy, make sure that the feather condition is fine, and that way you can pick up small changes that could potentially lead to bigger problems in the future. So getting that, or doing that and realizing that that is important, and those routine structured checks will make your bird live longer, because you can easily pick up on small changes that could potentially lead to a disease.
I'm trying to picture the size of a stethoscope to listen to the heartbeat of a budgie. It must be very tiny.
I use a neonatal stethoscopes. Okay. It's a German brand that I use, and I absolutely love it. Mm-hmm. It's very soft on the ears as well, so it works well.
Another question from Anonymous on the SMS line. What would be the reason for my bird pulling its own feathers out?
Okay, so this is exactly, I'm going to Joburg next year for this. I'm doing a talk at a vet conference.
Yeah.
This is one thing that I really focus on, and avian behavior is very important to me. Basically, allowing your bird to get enough sleep, from sunset, it has to go sleep when the sun goes down, because that's a natural behavior for them to hide, especially like daylight birds, diurnal birds. Making sure you've got the right food and water, always fresh and available, but also making sure that there's no underlying disease processes. If your bird is happy, healthy, and stable, then they should not really be plucking feathers. There's also some psychological things that can be leading to that. This is a question that has about 20 different answers to it, but making sure your bird's eating a healthy diet, going to sleep when it needs to be sleeping, having freedom to express its natural behavior will reduce the risk for feather plucking. There's lots of medical reasons for that too, but if your bird is, if you're following the normal things and making sure your bird's not unhealthy, then they shouldn't be really plucking.
Okay. I'm going to ask you to pop the headphones on, please, Kutsia, because I think we've got our first listener question coming through on the line. Just a reminder that if you want to ask a question, the number to dial is 021-446-0567, which is what Carol has done, calling us from Newlands. Good afternoon, Carol.
Hi. Good afternoon, Pippa, and good afternoon to the vet. Doctor, I've recently acquired a pair of budgies, and I noticed that occasionally they want to eat their own feces, as the feces sort of sticks on the, you know, the bars of the cage. And also about diet, my vet said that, of course, they're seed eaters, and I've been picking grass, and they are very enthusiastic about the grass seeds that I pick. Is that okay?
Yes. Hi. So budgerigars are from Australia, like I've said, and they're basically grazers. So picking grass seeds and making sure it's not sprayed with any pesticides is really good for them. I normally tell people that a budgie should have a third, a third, a third. So a third seed, but making sure it's a good quality seed. A third, green vegetables. And a third, you can give a quality pellet. The reason why we want a quality pellet is that you know that you've got the right amount of protein, the right amount of fats, and all the vitamins and minerals in there. Mixing those three together will allow your birds to have a healthy, balanced diet. And that will also ensure that you don't really have any nutritional deficiencies.
I didn't realize you could get a pellet for a budgie.
Yes, you can. So there's a few different brands out there. Nature's Nest is one of my favorites. There's other brands as well, like the American brands, like Rowdy Bush and Harrison's. They are out there, unfortunately, quite expensive. There's AV Plus as well. But basically, the pellets just has to be an appropriate size for little beaks to bite. And then I always send budgies home with this with the diet of a third, unless if they've got other underlying diseases that you don't really want to feed that much. But yes, that is what I recommend. I would recommend just separating or trying to reduce the amount of feces on the bottom of the bars. Unfortunately, budgies can pick up a few parasites. One of the most common ones is a parasite called Macroraptus ornithognaster. And that one is unfortunately quite common in budgies. And if you reduce and clean the cage regularly, daily if possible, that would reduce them, or that would reduce the chance of them getting sick.
Carol, thank you so much for your call and good luck with the budgies. I want to try and squeeze in very quickly a call from Bruce in Villierstorp before we run out of time. Good afternoon, Bruce.
I think quickly ask your guest. Our cockatiel managed to slip out of the front door this morning and took off. What are the chances that he would actually find his way back?
Sorry, Bruce. Oh, dear.
Hi, Bruce. I'm sorry to hear that. What I would recommend is putting out some flyers. Each town these days have their local Facebook page, and just putting out some flyers with some characteristics of your bird and just walking around the area to see if you can see them or hear them. Hearing them is a lot easier. And then just if you do spot them, or that when someone does spot them, what I used to do when someone I had a bird that flew away as well, so I know how you feel, and I just sat out there and just sat there with a bowl of food and water, and eventually they will come down if they do notice you.
I hope that is what happens for you, Bruce. Good luck, and drop us a line, please, if your bird does come safely home. I'd love to be able to keep you for longer, but I could say for those whose questions we're not going to be able to get to, how do they reach out to you for advice, or where do they find the care clinic?
Okay, so you can find us on Facebook at Center for Avian Reptiles and Exotics. You can also email us at info@birdclinic.co.za, and our telephone number is 021-8755-063, also at vet-care.co.za. Those are all our platforms.
Dr. Kutsir de Beer, thank you so much for joining us today. Great to have you on the show.
Thank you for having me, Pippa.